bugles in a few minutes, I'll stop and we'll start over again. But
they finally caught up with me. I had to slow down just a little bit. But at 6:30 on Piskai Road at Dr. Jack's house, and we're going to meet under the tent. We'll be having music and announcements and different things like that. We'll be having our daily services. We'll begin at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the tent at Dr. Jack's house, and then from 3 to 5 p.m. we'll be at Peggy's Depot Cafe in Andrews, North Carolina, and then we'll meet at Peggy's approximately 1:15 daily to enjoy fellowship and eat our lunch, and then we'll try to have our announcements and more teaching in the afternoon at Peggy's restaurant. If we eat our lunches there, Peggy has generously said she would allow us to have our meetings in the afternoon, so we certainly appreciate Peggy's Depot Cafe in Andrews, North Carolina. Dr. Jack is Dr. Jack Suter in Andrews, North Carolina, and he lives on Piskai Road. I gave you the number before. It's 828-321-1010. And if for some reason if you get the answer machine or he doesn't get back with you, please call my office where I also have a machine to pick up the calls. The toll-free number is 877-289-7439. Now, in preparation for the feast, we have our fast day, which starts, it started tonight at the going down of the sun, and it will last until the going down of the sun tomorrow night. In order to prepare ourselves mentally and physically, to prepare our bodies for this Feast of Tabernacles, the Father tells us to fast, and that's what those of us that try to follow His teachings will be doing. So it's such a little bit to give to the Father. He's done so much for us, and we owe everything to Him that it probably, if we all fasted more, we would probably be in much better shape. I know that I have a tendency to not fast enough, and in order to purify and cleanse our bodies, we need to fast, and we need to take care of our bodies, and by fasting, the body's system throws off the impurities and the toxins and all the bad stuff, and it just starts to come out. Now, you have to also, when you're fasting in most situations, you have to drink water in order to flush these poisons and toxins out. So after you get past the first short period of time, it really has become, it's really pretty easy to continue the fast. Pastor Buddy has fasted for as much as 40 days at a time. And he more or less relates to us that by fasting that long, you can really get in touch not only with the Father, but you can get in touch with your own body. And it just it's a good thing to do. Some people fast several days a month. Some people fast like a full week every quarter, and so if you add all that up, it's really the body begins to, you begin to whip it into shape, and the flesh knows that you're the master, and when times really get tough, I think you'll be prepared to deal with the situations that might arise. So if you've never fasted, I would certainly check with a doctor if you have health concerns. But I would recommend fasting on a regular basis, and even weekly if possible. push yourself back from the old table, things of that nature, and see if you can't improve your health situation with your body. I would like to say a couple of things. When Pastor Buddy called me today and said, would you fill in for me? I'd like to go out with my wife and enjoy a night out. I didn't really know what I was going to say, but I have such a tremendous assortment of information. I'm going to call it a smorgasbord tonight, and if you'll bear with me, I think I have some information that may be of interest. It may bring some answers to questions that you may have had. If you have problems that you may want more information for, you can call the numbers that I gave for Dr. Jack and myself, and we certainly will be glad to find the answers for you and to get back with you. One thing that that we tried to touch on when we were at the Passover feast earlier this year, and Dr. Jack and I were on the radio, we went over the different things in our lifestyles and in our things that we come into contact with on a daily basis, such as our food, our water, the things that we put on our bodies, the different soaps, the supplements, the different things that we take into our bodies that can have an overall effect on us. We heard that fertilizer spills down in Florida that basically went unnoticed for many years, 10 years down the road, began to have an effect on male and female alligators. We often don't realize, because we don't see an immediate result, how detrimental something like this can be. Of course, the different companies try to do what they can to alleviate the spill and the fallout from the spill, but, you know, because the land absorbs the different chemicals and all, they have a tendency to stay around for many, many years, and it may eventually poison many things during the life of the different chemicals. But anyway, the alligators were found to not be producing baby alligators, and when they went back, one of the people that lived on the lake said, I can tell you what's causing the problem. It was from the fertilizer spill. So they cut the alligators open, the female, and noticed that her ovaries were large ovaries, but when they cut down to the cellular level that actually produced the eggs, they were malformed, they were dried up, they were in very, very bad shape, and they were incapable of producing baby alligator eggs to be fertilized. Then when they went in and looked at the male alligator, they found out that the sex organs were small. They cut into the cellular level to see how the sperm was formed. And there again, they were also in deformed states, incapable of producing normal sperm to fertilize the egg to give the alligator. So here we go, just something that didn't seem to be too important years later affects animals of one particular species. But it was greater than just that, because the women of childbearing age in that particular area were also dwindling in numbers of being able to produce children. Now, I know very clearly what, young people do when something like this happens. You know, and it's happening more and more often, and as a result of that, the white race, as we've mentioned many times, is on the decline. So there are many things, the different, it's so important for us to not only investigate the things that we eat and drink, the things that we put into our bodies, our inhalers, the different liquids that we drink, the different pharmaceuticals. It's so important for us to begin to investigate these things and to try to at least make a difference in the things that we come in contact with. Now, we know that from the fertilizer spill, when they dug up the bottom of the lake, they found out that, that the fertilizer chemicals were in very, very high numbers. And as a result of that, the plankton and the seaweed and the different things like that that were on the bottom were eaten by the smaller little shellfish, and then as it went up the chain, then the frogs would eat the shellfish, or the bass would eat the shellfish. So gradually, even though it was limited to the flora on the bottom of the lake, it eventually came up to where the alligators were involved in it, and then the human beings were involved in it. And from that one lake in Florida, now this type of problem has gone all over the world. Even to the North Pole, they're finding penguins and things of that nature that are also affected by something that happened down in Florida. So the Earth is kind of a living organism, and it's kind of a situation where we're all involved. We need to clean up. We need to make sure that something we do today doesn't affect someone else or something else years down the road. So this is just something that we're becoming increasingly aware of, and now we know why people are so sick. It used to be that one person in 25 would have cancer, and now they're stating that if a husband and wife have a child, that one of those three people will more than likely come down with cancer. Now, we've always been taught through the medical community that cancer is a deadly disease if it's caught in time, if they do the chemo, if they do the radiation, if they cut it out. There's a good possibility that you might have somewhere around a 50% chance of survival. But as we begin to research and look on the Internet, is probably one of the best things. I went to a site, I think it was called StopCancer.com, cancer can be cured, many different sites that give you information that begins to make you see that cancer, if treated properly without going through the radiation and the chemo and other different examples that were given by the medical community, you might have a better than 50% chance of survival, a lot higher than you would have if you followed the old routine that were given by the medical community. Now, I'd like to read a couple of things to you. I got a little pamphlet when I was in North Carolina, put together by people that are very concerned about health issues, and just to show you how we have been dumbed down to the fact that the things that we use in our daily lives are poisonous. Now, every day you take care of your family members, you love them, and you pray that they'll stay out of harm's way. Yet, like most people, probably don't realize that every day you douse them and yourself with the same harmful corrosive ingredients found in brake fluid, degreasers, embalming fluid, and antifreeze. Now, you know, that's kind of hard to swallow when we think that the corporations that do all these big ads on TV are really trying to do us a favor, when in fact the bottom line is a good profit. So if they can use something that might be slightly different than something that's healthy, if they figure they don't use very much of it, it's not going to hurt you that much. So if we're going to look at a couple of ingredients here, sodium lauryl or lauryl sulfate and or propylene glycol. And we know propylene glycol is found in antifreeze. They're found in soaps, they're found in shampoos, conditioners, toothpaste, mouthwash, bubble bath, cosmetics, deodorant, face, hand and body lotions, shaving gels, most baby products, even dish and laundry soap. And they make foam that feels smooth, they're cheap, and they cause massive problems. They cause allergies and cancers. So we're seeing that, you know, if it means finding an alternate ingredient that might be somewhat harmful to you, the big corporations, in order to make that profit, are going to do what they have to do. Well, the following information was compiled from the information in New Ways Toxins Technical Packet, excuse me, plus Beauty to Die For by Judy Vance, Home Safe Home by Deborah Lynn Dadd, The Safe Shopper's Bible, and the Coalition for Cancer Prevention Packets by Dr. Samuel Epstein. It says, knowing the facts, are you aware that one puff of a cigarette puts 10 quadrillion free radicals in your body? Of course, we know free radicals attack weak tissue, causing most illness and disease. And, you know, that we're supposed to take coenzyme Q10 and different things like that to try to snare those free radicals. But here we are doing something that seems to be so relaxing to some people and so soothing, and yet we're putting in the article, once again says 10 quadrillion free radicals in your body. Did you know that the use of many personal care products, as an example would be shampoos, conditioner, deodorants, toothpaste, mouthwash, cosmetics, shaving gel, creams, dish and laundry soap, bubble bath, and most baby products, is equivalent to smoking 5 to 10 cigarettes every day or eating a pound of bacon. How much damage is accumulating inside your body every day because of the toxic ingredients in personal care products? The major toxic ingredients in personal care products include, as I mentioned before, sodium lauryl sulfate, or SLS, and our sodium lauryl sulfate, SLES, and propylene glycol. Do you know that there are more than 150 synonyms for SLES? And that's why you begin to have to, as Dr. Jack does, is turn the product information over and begin to look at it and write some of this information down. And even then, some manufacturers do not list all of the ingredients in their products. The SLS and the SLES are often used as ingredients in cosmetics, deodorants, toothpaste, mouthwash, shampoo. As I mentioned before, SLS is also used in garage floor cleaner, engine degreaser, and car wash soaps. Material safety data sheets clearly state avoid skin contact. Now, this seems to be kind of a surprise. I mean, here we're supposed to be protected from things that harm us, and yet so many of the products that come into contact with our skin on a daily basis, and probably we're quite allergic to or fine for the big corporations to use in making a profit. The toxic effect of these things, it retards healing and keeps children's eyes from developing properly, especially in children under 6, can cause cataracts in adults and delays healing of wounds in the surface of the cornea, causes skin to flake and separate and causes substantial roughness on the skin, causes dysfunction of biological systems of the skin. Is such a caustic cleanser that it corrodes the hair follicle and impairs its ability to grow hair. Used in clinical studies to deliberately irritate the skin so that the effects of other substances can be tested. Both SLS and SLES have been documented to enhance nitrate absorption. One shampoo is equivalent to eating a pound of bacon. Now, that seems to be hard to believe, doesn't it? You know, the shampoo, and most people don't think a thing about using shampoo, and I have several relatives that say, I've been using this shampoo, I've been using this deodorant, I've been using this toothpaste for years, and I'm not going to change. But they also don't realize that they're in poor health. I have one relative that has done many of the things that I've just spoken about, and he's probably had 5 surgeries in the last 2 years. And isn't back to health today and may never be back to health. You know, you try to talk them about, tell them about the NutraSweet and using the artificial creamers in their coffee, and it's like talking to the wall. So it's so important to get a grasp on this thing. You know, you need to be vigilant, and you need to overview these things and try to make a decision. You know, try to stop doing a little bit of it, and if you have to, move on, move on, move on. And eventually, you'll be in a much better state of health than you are today. Now, let's look at the, as I mentioned, propylene glycol. Propylene glycol is a common ingredient in personal products such as cosmetics, shaving products, deodorants, toothpaste, mouthwash, shampoos, conditioners, lotions, cleansers, dish and laundry detergents, even baby products. Commercial uses include antifreeze, embalming fluid, brake and hydraulic fluid, airplane de-icer, paint and coatings, floor wax, portable water systems, swimming pools, liquid laundry detergents, pet food, and tobacco. It says avoid skin contact. It says, according to a 1991 American Academy of Dermatologists clinical review, propylene glycol causes a significant number of reactions and is a primary irritant to the skin. Even in low levels of concentration, these reactions include contact dermatitis, kidney damage, liver abnormalities. Propylene glycol also inhibits skin cell growth, damages cell membranes, causing rashes, dry skin, and skin lesions, eczema, and psoriasis. So here we go. I heard that propylene glycol was used in women's lipsticks to go on smoother. You know, there's, and the skin is 70 times more efficient for absorption than even taking medicine by mouth. So here we think that we're doing good, especially something simple as taking a shower with just normal municipal water, and we find out because of the impurities with the chlorine, the fluoride, the lead from the pipes, and who knows what other different things, we might absorb 7 glasses of impurities through our skin on a 15-minute shower. So this is such an important thing to begin to say, let me filter my water from the outside, and it probably wouldn't hurt to put a shower filter on my shower. And try not to, even with that, try not to stay, as some people do, in the bath for long periods of time because it just goes right into the skin. Same way with swimming pool. The swimming pool, unfortunately, is probably one of the very worst. I know a lady that went to a municipal pool. She was swimming late, and the man was putting in his chemicals, and he put all of his different acids and everything in, and when she got out, she was as red as a beet from all the chemicals. So if the chemicals are touching the skin, I got news for you. The chemicals are going into the bloodstream, too, through the skin. So don't think that, you know, that your skin won't absorb, because now they're putting out patches that lay up on the skin that are going to replace injections. So it is a very good way to administer different ingredients to the human body without penetrating the skin itself. Well, these are just some of the things. Combination of chemicals in personal care products can cause nitrosamines, potent carcinogens. Well, it sounds like we're about at the end of the first half hour. So if you'll stick with me, I'll be back in a couple of minutes and we'll finish this.
And greetings to the lost sheep of the house of Israel this Wednesday evening, October the 16th, year 2002. If you hear the broadcast any other time, please keep listening. I think it'll be to your benefit. And tonight, We're going to continue on, I believe, with the subject that we were addressing some last night, the subject of vaccinations. We had a very brave and fine medical doctor on as a guest last night who wasn't afraid to tell it like it is. And she told you, just the way it is, that there is a thing called VIDS. That's what she specializes in, vaccine-induced disease syndromes. Tonight, God willing, the Spirit so leads, we're going to look at how our enemy has actually made known the plans to use vaccinations in the warfare against us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, in the name of Christ Jesus, I and those that pray with me, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide and lead in the words and the thoughts, the scriptures that are going to be covered tonight, and also in the hearts and the minds of those that are beginning to stir and think maybe there really is someone there that hates them and wants to destroy them. Oh, Father, we trust for you to answer this prayer and make this broadcast a blessing to your people, to the cause of the kingdom, and a blow against our evil Antichrist sons of hell enemies. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that we'll do a short Bible study before I get to a portion of a document that many have a hard time believing. It seems that the mind of the sheep cannot quite grasp the mind of the wolf. And God doesn't ask us to do that, but he does tell us to believe him, believe his word. Now, his word has told us that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are vipers, serpents, reptilian people, if you will, amongst us. That there is such a thing as the alien. This isn't out of Star Wars that I'm talking about or some science fiction movie. I'm talking about the Word of God. But it's like we read over those portions and we try to just ignore them or explain them away. Now, the Word of God tells us that the things written before time were written for our learning or our understanding, such as in Romans chapter 15. I'm turning there now. It says in verse 4 of that chapter, quote, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." Now, I want to stop there a second. That's not all of the verse. I want to read the rest of the verse. But let that portion of the verse sink in. Why do we have the Old Testament scriptures? They were written, they were given to us for our instructions. We're supposed to learn from them. Let's read the rest of the verse. "That through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." I want to center in on that last part, but before I do, let me just tell you a story that I've told before on some messages sent out on the tape ministry, and I believe I told it before in our radio broadcast sometime along the way. When you've got about 1,000 of those babies under your belt, you don't know what all you've said. Of course, the audience changes a lot, and so does the reception. So I'll tell it again. If it's a repeat for some of you, please bear with me. I'll make it a Reader's Digest version. But years ago, my son and I and some friends were up in the Colorado mountains hunting elk during black powder season. We had a camp up in the high country. It was a wilderness area. You had to pack in horseback. But for some reason, we had to come out. About three of us came out early to get something. I forget what it was, and it was on a Sunday. And so on our way back, that Sunday evening, we stopped in a little Church of Christ up there that was having evening service. The way churches work, if you got somebody visiting in the evening, That's a big deal. Normally you get your visitors on Sunday morning, if you get any at all. And boy, they were so courteous to us, happy to have us. We came in looking a little scraggly. Beards weren't shaved, and we were still in our hunting clothes and didn't have any Bibles with us. And they handed us a Bible, and they were having a Bible study that night online. And this effeminate little guy up in front was talking about reading from the Old Testament scriptures and Proverbs and this and that on the subject of lying. And I said to my son and the friend that was with him, I said to him, I said, watch me have some fun. So I raised my hand, acted like a dumb country hick just visiting church. I was called on, and he said, yes. And I said, well, what about the portions of the scripture? What about the scriptures that seem to endorse lying? And he had no idea what I was talking about. He said, well, let's take a look at them. Well, one of the places I had him go to was to the story in the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Now, these things were written, my friends, for our instruction, for our understanding. It's not hard to understand. Now, Pharaoh wanted, it says in the Exodus chapter 1, that there was a conspiracy against the children of Israel to destroy the children of Israel. And they were throwing the firstborn into the river Nile. And it was a law. It was a law, just like passing a law, that you must have your child vaccinated before you can get him into the government full system or school system. And they were doing it. And then it was a law, you know, the part I got to was the midwives were to, well, let's just read it. It was given to us for our instruction. If you got your Bibles with you tonight or listening along, hopefully I've developed an audience, some that will at least go to their Bible and check it out or write some of these scriptures down and read it later. It's not supposed to be just this preacher that reads the Bible. Verse 15, then the king of Israel, Exodus chapter 1, spoke to the Hebrew midwives. One of them was named Shaphira, and the other was named Pua. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwives can get to them. So I read that, or I had him read it, and I said, the midwives to the Hebrews lied. Well, you can't get around it. They lied. The teacher said, well, it doesn't say God was in favor of that. But I said, well, the next verse, verse 20, quote, so God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came about because the midwives feared God that he established households for them, end quote. Now, the only reason I'm going off on this, I give him several other examples in the Bible, such as Rahab the harlot lying, saying that she had not hidden the spies or she had not seen the spies. But the reason I give this is because these things were written for our learning, but they wouldn't see it. They couldn't see it. In fact, they got angry before it was all over with. We weren't such welcome guests. And I was very gentle about it. Just that, just played like the dumb hick cowboy asking the questions. They couldn't answer it. Well, they just wanted to read over it. And so very often, that's the way we are when it comes to things that don't fit in to what we already believe. Back on the subject, believe it. The Bible teaches it clearly. There are aliens, there are serpents, there are wolves in sheep's clothing, there are sons of hell, there are people who are their father, the devil, who do the desire, they do his desires. He steals, kills, and destroys. You think there could be killers in our midst? Well, let me ask you something. Was Pharaoh a killer?
Evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.